Well, thank you very much. It's great to be back with you here in Copenhagen.
Mange tak. Det er dejligt at være tilbage sammen med jer her i København.
I think it's about 20 years since I was last here. You certainly weren't meeting in this building.
Jeg tror, det er omkring 20 år siden, jeg var her sidst. I var i hvert fald ikke i den her bygning.
And I do remember the service because a gentleman collapsed on the front row as I was preaching.
Man kan virkelig tydeligt huske gudstjenesten, fordi der var en herre, som kollapsede på forreste række.
We do pray for signs to follow the preaching of the word, but that's not exactly what I was looking for.
Og vi beder jo om tegn, der kan følge prædikenen, men det er ikke altid, hvad vi beder om.
Og du kan måske komme til at huske den her service. Now maybe you'll remember this service.
Maybe you'll remember this service.
I would like to say that we got this teen church for all the teens. Yeah. Okay.
Ah, right. They're not collapsing. They're
not
leaving.
They're not collapsing. They're just walking right. Out.
Det var i Berøre. That was in the Berean church.
I just want to say thank you very much indeed for your continuing support of Operation Mobilization.
Jeg vil gerne sige mange tak for jeres fortsatte støtte af OM.
I know you're a great support to Andrew and the team here.
Jeg ved, I har Andrew. Sorry.
You're a great support.
Oh ja, I en stor støtte for Andrew og teamet.
And I know you pray for our ministry around the world.
Og jeg ved, at I beder for vores tjeneste rundt om i verden.
These are important days for us because we're in the middle of a transition from my leadership to the next person who will be leading OM internationally.
Og denne tid er meget vigtig for os, fordi vi står i en overgang fra mit lederskab til den næste leder af OM.
And we're almost at the end of that process, and it looks as though a Singaporean brother called Lawrence will be taking over the leadership of our work.
Vi er ved at nærme os afslutningen af den proces, og det ser ud til, at en bror fra Singapore, der hedder Lawrence, skal overtage lederskabet af OM.
That's still to be confirmed. It's a long process, but it looks as though that's the way it's going.
Det skal stadig bekræftes, men det ser sådan ud.
And so from the 31st of August, and next year I will be retiring from that role.
Så fra den 31. august næste år, der vil jeg så trække mig tilbage fra min rolle som leder af OM.
Looking forward very much to less emails.
Så frem til at modtage færre e-mail.
And a little less travel.
Rejse lidt mindre.
And the opportunity just to concentrate on the preaching and teaching which I enjoy doing so much.
Og muligheden for at koncentrere mig, fokusere på at undervise.
So thank you for your prayers for us. We really appreciate that.
Så tak for jeres bønner for os. Det sætter vi stor pris på.
And I want to talk to you this morning about making decisions today in the light of tomorrow.
Og i dag vil jeg gerne tale mere om at træffe beslutninger i dag i lyset af i morgen.
I actually want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects.
Jeg vil faktisk tale om et af mine yndlingsemner.
And that's the subject of heaven.
Og det er emnet himlen.
And making decisions today in the light of spending eternity in heaven.
At træffe beslutninger i dag i lyset af at skulle tilbringe evigheden i himlen.
So if you have a Bible, let's turn to the second last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21.
Så lad os bladre om til det næst sidste kapitel i Bibelen, som er Johannes Åbenbaring 21.
And let me just read the first six verses to you.
Og jeg vil læse de første seks vers.
And if you can follow in your Bible, I'll just reading in English.
Ja, bare følg med her. Johannes Åbenbaring 21:1.
This is the Apostle John, of course, and he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I'm making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Now, you probably know the background to the book of Revelation.
I kender sikkert til baggrunden for Johannes' åbenbaring.
Persecution has begun in the days of the early church.
Der er kommet forfølgelse her i begyndelsen af den tidlige kirke.
Apostle John, one of the leaders of the early church, has been imprisoned on the prison island of Patmos.
Og apostlen Johannes, som var en af lederne i den tidlige kirke, var blevet fængslet og spærret inde på fængselsøen Patmos.
And the Lord Jesus comes to John in his imprisonment.
Og Herren Jesus viser sig for Johannes i sit fangenskab.
And he says, "John, I want to show you the future."
Og siger Johannes, jeg vil vise dig fremtiden.
I want to show you where world history is going.
Jeg vil vise dig, hvorhen verdenshistorien ruller mod.
This will be an encouragement for you in days of persecution.
Det vil være til opmuntring for dig, når du udsættes for forfølgelse.
But the church is going to be persecuted in every era of its existence.
Men kirken vil lide under forfølgelse i hvilken som helst tidsalder af dens eksistens.
So as I draw the curtains back and show you the future.
Så når jeg trækker forhænget til side og viser dig et blik ind i fremtiden.
I want you to write down what you see.
Så vil jeg have at du skriver ned hvad du ser.
So that this can be an encouragement for the church in every age.
Således at det kan blive til opmuntring for kirken i alle aldre.
And so for 2000 years the Christian church has been encouraged by the vision we find in Revelation.
Så nu er kirken blevet opmuntret igennem 2000 år af de visioner vi finder i Johannes'
åbenbaring. Some of you might think the church is being confused by the vision we find in Revelation rather than encouraged.
Nogle synes måske at kirken er blevet forvirret snarere end opmuntret af de her visioner.
And you can get very confused by Revelation if you misunderstand the kind of literature that Revelation is.
Og ja, man kan blive meget forvirret af Johannes' åbenbaring, hvis man ikke helt forstår, hvad det er for en type litteratur, vi har
special,
at gøre med.
It's a very special kind of literature.
For det er en særlig type litteratur.
Which was very common in the days when John wrote down this vision.
Men den var meget almindelig dengang, da Johannes skrev denne vision ned.
It's not common today. It's not the kind of literature we are used to.
Men det er ikke en stil som vi er vant til i dag.
And how you read Revelation is very important.
Og den måde man læser Johannes' åbenbaring på er meget vigtig.
Many people over the years have made mistakes as they've sought to read Revelation.
For der er mange der har taget fejl når de har prøvet at læse åbenbaringen.
They've looked at all the details in Revelation.
De ser på alle detaljerne.
What does that bowl mean?
Hvad betyder denne skål?
What does that little incident mean?
Hvad betyder den her lille begivenhed?
That's not how you read the kind of literature that the book of Revelation is.
Men det er ikke sådan man skal læse den type litteratur som Johannes' åbenbaring.
Revelation is a big picture book.
Åbenbaringen er en bog med store billeder.
So you ask yourself, what's the big message of Revelation?
Så man skal stille spørgsmål, hvad er det store budskab her i
åbenbaringen? When you read Revelation like this, it becomes so much more clear.
Og åbenbaringen bliver så meget tydeligere, når man læser den på den måde.
The big message of Revelation is that evil, which is so prevalent in every era of the church.
Og det store budskab er, at det onde, som er så tydeligt iblandt os.
Evil will not triumph.
Det onde skal ikke overvindes.
Sometimes it may appear as though evil is triumphing.
Nogle gange vil det se ud som om det onde vil vinde.
But it will not triumph.
Men det vil det ikke.
Because the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is on the throne.
For lammet, Herren Jesus, er på tronen.
Jesus and the people of Jesus will be victorious.
Jesus og Jesu folk vil få sejren.
That's the big message of Revelation.
Det er åbenbaringens store budskab.
And Jesus says to John, I want you to write it down.
Og Jesus siger til Johannes, skriv ned.
And in the last two chapters of this amazing book of Revelation,
og de sidste to kapitler af den her fantastiske bog,
we're actually given a brief look into heaven itself.
Der får vi faktisk et indblik i himlen.
So that's what I want us to do this morning.
Og det er hvad jeg gerne vil have at vi samles om.
I want us to have a brief look into heaven.
Et lille indblik i himlen.
You're going to spend eternity there.
Vi skal tilbringe evigheden der.
So we better find out what's going to go on.
Så det vil være godt at finde ud af, hvad der skal ske deroppe.
But I wonder if heaven really excites you.
Men gør himlen, tanken om himlen, jeg er virkelig spændt.
Are you honestly encouraged by the thought of spending eternity in heaven?
Er det noget, der opmuntrer jer at skulle tilbringe en evighed i himlen?
For some of us in the Western world particularly,
for nogle af os, særligt grad her i Vesten,
the pleasures of this present life,
der er alle denne verdens fornøjelser og
glæder, are so easy, so great,
de er så store og nemme at få,
that it's difficult for us to imagine that life with God in a world to come could be better than what we have now.
Så det kan være svært at forestille sig, at en fremtidig verden sammen med Gud kunne være bedre end den vi har nu.
For other people, the mental image we've created of heaven is such.
For mange er det mentale billede vi har af himlen således.
That if we're honest, heaven just seems to be a rather boring place to us.
Og hvis vi er ærlige, så tænker vi nogle gange på himlen som et temmelig kedeligt sted.
Back in 1922 in England.
I 1922 i England.
An old lady died.
Der var en ældre kvinde,
and
som
she'd
døde.
Been a servant in one of the big houses in London for many years.
Hun havde været tjenestepige i et af de store huse i London.
She'd spent her life washing dishes and ironing the clothes.
Hun havde tilbragt sit liv med at vaske op og stryge. Og
and she knew she was dying.
Og hun vidste, at hun skulle dø.
And she wrote a little poem which is actually published in newspapers in 1922.
Hun skrev et lille digt, som faktisk blev offentliggjort i aviserne dengang.
And she appealed to people, don't mourn for me when I die.
Hun sagde, lad være at sørge, når jeg dør.
I'm going to heaven.
Jeg skal til himlen.
There's no dishes to wash in heaven.
Der er ingen opvask i himlen.
I won't be doing any sweeping. I won't be doing any sewing.
Ingen gulve, der skal fejes. Ingen knapper, der skal syes i.
And she finishes like this. Don't mourn for me now.
Og hun afslutter sådan, lad være at sørge for mig nu.
Don't mourn for me ever.
Lad være at sørge for mig nogensinde.
I'm going to do nothing forever and ever.
For jeg skal flyde rundt og lave absolut ingenting i evighed.
John Eldridge, the well-known Christian writer,
John Eldridge, en kendt kristen forfatter,
says that nearly every Christian he's ever spoken to,
siger at næsten hver eneste kristen som han har talt med,
has some idea that heaven is like an unending church service.
Har en tanke om at himlen er som en gudstjeneste der var ved og ved i evighed.
Now I'm sure you have wonderful church services here.
Gudstjenesterne her er selvfølgelig vidunderlige.
But it's difficult, isn't it, to get really excited about an eternal church service.
Men det kan være svært virkelig at hisse op over tanken om en evig.
So let's stand alongside John for a moment.
Så lad os stille os her ved siden af Johannes.
As Jesus draws back the curtain.
Når Jesus trækker forhænget fra.
And let's look into heaven.
Og lad os se ind i himlen.
And we've time only to see three very simple things this morning.
Vi har kun tid til at se på tre enkle ting.
First, as you look at these verses in Revelation 21.
For det første, når vi kigger på versene her i Åbenbaringen 21.
God promises, I'm going to make everything new.
Så lover Gud os, at han vil gøre alt nyt.
The word new comes over and over again.
Ordet nyt optræder over det hele.
A new heaven.
Ny himmel.
A new, or in fact, a renewed earth.
En ny, eller en rettere, fornyet jord.
The new Jerusalem.
Det nye Jerusalem.
And then, of course, he says in verse 5, I'm making everything new.
Og særligt i vers 5, se, jeg gør alting nyt.
It's interesting to understand the word translated new.
Og det er vigtigt, at vi forstår det ord, som her er oversat til ny og nyt.
It means new in kind.
Det betyder ny, som en ny art.
Not a new edition of the same thing. Something absolutely new, absolutely different.
Det er ikke en forlængelse af noget, der findes i forvejen. Det er noget helt nyt.
Some years ago, friends of mine bought me a Renault car.
For nogle år siden var der nogle af mine venner, som købte mig en Renault.
Then 3 years later, they came along with another Renault car.
Og 3 år efter kom de igen med en Renault.
A new edition of the same car.
en ny version af den samme bil.
But I soon found that many of the problems in the old car were still there in the new edition.
Men jeg fandt hurtigt ud af, at flere af problemerne fra den gamle var ført med over i den nye.
Heaven is going to be new in kind, a complete transformation from what we know now.
Himlen vil være fuldstændig nyt, en fuldstændig transformation af alt, hvad vi kender.
And a key part of that, according to John, is the removal of a number of evils that we all struggle with on a daily basis.
Og en af nøglerne i dette vil være, at mange af disse onde ting, som vi kender fra i dag, vil ikke være der længere.
So in verse 1, you see that in heaven, there will be no longer any sea.
Så vi ser for det første, at i himlen vil der ikke længere være et hav.
That might be discouraging.
Det kan skuffe nogen.
You enjoy your beach holidays.
Man kan godt lide at tage på stranden.
But of course, Revelation is picture language.
Men vi taler jo selvfølgelig om billedsprog her.
And for the Hebrew mind, the sea was a place of restlessness. It was a place of chaos.
Og for det hebræiske sind, det jødiske sind, var havet et udtryk for uro, for
In the book of Revelation, the beast comes up out of the sea.
I åbenbaringen, der træder dyret frem af havet.
So Jesus is saying to John, yes, heaven is going to be a place of rest.
Så hvad Jesus siger til Johannes er, at himlen bliver et sted med hvile.
Not the rest of idleness.
Ikke hvile sådan, at vi ikke laver noget.
But a rest from restlessness.
Men en hvile fra hvileløshed.
Our deepest spiritual longings will be finally satisfied.
Vores dybeste åndelige længsler vil endelig finde deres tilfredsstillelse.
And so in verse 6, to him who is thirsty,
så som vi læser vers 6, den der
tørster, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life.
Den der tørster vil jeg give af kilden med livets vand.
You all remember the words of the psalmist, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you.
Vi kan huske fra at salmisten skriver, sådan som dyret hjorten skriger efter vand, således længes min sjæl efter dig.
I'm sure that's the experience of a great many of us this morning.
Det er også, er jeg sikker på, vores erfaring i dag.
There is a spiritual longing within us which is never finally satisfied in this life.
At vi har en dyb åndelig længsel, som aldrig finder sin tilfredsstillelse i dette liv.
But in heaven, says John, there will be a rest from that restless searching after spiritual satisfaction.
Men Johannes siger, at i himlen vil vi finde hvile fra denne hvileløse længsel og søgen efter åndelig tilfredsstillelse.
Six other evils will be removed according to John.
Ifølge Johannes er der seks andre onde ting, der vil blive fjernet.
Imagine a world without these things.
Forestil jer en verden uden følgende.
There's going to be no more death.
Ingen død.
No more mourning.
Ingen sorg.
No more weeping.
Ingen gråd.
No more pain.
Ingen pine.
The curse and the night will all be gone.
Forbandelsen og natten vil være
all the fears, all the doubts associated with the night will be no longer.
Al den frygt og tvivl, som vi forbinder med natten, vil ikke være der.
So just sit in your seat for a moment and imagine the experience of loving God with all your heart.
Prøv at sætte jer tilbage og forestil jer, hvordan det er at elske Gud med hele jeres hjerte.
Imagine the experience of loving your neighbor as yourself.
Og at opleve at elske jeres næste som jer selv.
Imagine never hating.
Hvordan er det aldrig at hade?
Never wallowing in self-pity or struggling with lust.
Aldrig at gå rundt og have medlidenhed med sig selv eller kæmpe mod lystfølelser.
That's the picture which Jesus shows John.
Og det er det billede, som Jesus viser Johannes.
Everything is new, John.
Alt er nyt, Johannes.
Your deepest spiritual aching and longing is finally satisfied.
Din dybeste åndelige længsler har endelig fundet deres tilfredsstillelse.
Look at the second thing which John sees.
Men se også på det andet, som Johannes ser.
He sees that God himself is with his people.
Han ser, at Gud selv har taget bolig hos mennesken.
There's a loud voice from the throne.
Det er en høj røst fra tronen, der siger det.
Look, God's dwelling place. It's amongst his people.
Nu er Guds bolig hos menneskene.
He's going to dwell with them. Not visit them occasionally. He's going to dwell with them.
Han vil bo hos dem, ikke bare besøge dem en gang imellem, men bo hos dem.
The God who came to his people in the tabernacle.
En Gud, som kom til sit folk i tabernaklet.
And then in the temple.
Og i templet.
And then became flesh and blood amongst us.
Blev han kød og blod iblandt os.
The God who now lives within us by his Holy Spirit.
Den Gud, som nu lever, bor i os gennem sin hellige ånd.
Is finally amongst us.
Han er endelig iblandt os.
Where he has always wanted to be.
Der, hvor han altid har ønsket at bo.
Richard Foster, the well-known writer of the book Celebration of Discipline,
Richard Foster, som har skrevet bogen, der på engelsk hedder Celebration of Discipline,
has just spent 5 years with a team of scholars.
Han tilbragte 5 år med et hold af videnskabsfolk.
Writing the notes for what's called the Spiritual Formation Bible.
Og skrev noter til det, som hedder On Spiritual Formation Bible, en ny, yeah. New translation.
Yeah, well, notes on the Bible.
Okay, noter til en bestemt bibel.
And at the end of 5 years of study,
og efter at have studeret sammen med dem i 5 år,
these scholars have come to this conclusion.
Der nåede de til følgende konklusion.
The message of the Bible is very simple.
Bibelens budskab er rigtig enkelt.
God is just saying, I want to be with you.
Det Gud siger er, jeg ønsker at være.
I want to be with you.
Jeg vil være sammen med jer.
And then the Bible asks a question.
Og Bibelen stiller spørgsmålet.
Do you want to be with me?
Vil du være sammen med mig?
You'll notice as you read later in Revelation 21, there's the description of an amazing city.
Og som vi læser videre i Johannes Åbenbaring 21, så kommer der en beskrivelse af en fantastisk by.
It's amazing because of its proportions.
Den er utrolig på grund af dens proportioner.
It's laid out like a square or a cube. It's as long as it's wide.
Den er lavet som en terning. Den er lige så lang, som den er bred, som den er høj.
You can see the measurements if you look later in the chapter.
Du kan selv se, hvor stor den er senere i kapitlet.
A huge cube-shaped city.
En gigantisk terningformet by.
You'll never understand Revelation if you don't read your Old Testament.
Og du vil aldrig forstå Åbenbaringen, hvis ikke du læser de gamle
What's
testamenter.
What's the only cube-shaped place you find anywhere in Scripture?
Hvad er den eneste terningformede genstand, du finder i Bibelen?
Well, it's the Holy of Holies, right there in the center of the temple.
Det er det allerhelligste midt i templet.
Where the priest could only go once a year.
Hvor ypperste præsten kunne kun gå derind en gang om året.
With great fear and trembling after much preparation.
Med frygt og med bæven efter lang tids forberedelse.
And as Jesus opens the curtain,
når Jesus trækker forhænget til side,
he's saying to John, that's all history.
Så siger han til Johannes, det er bare alt
historie
nu.
Here's a new cube.
Her er en ny terning.
A great city.
En kæmpe by.
Where all of God's people are constantly with him and he is with them.
Hvor alt Guds folk hele tiden er sammen med ham og han med dem.
I was preaching in the magnificent cathedrals in Carlisle, my home city, a year or two ago.
Jeg talte i den vidunderlige katedral i min hjemby i Carlisle.
It's been there for more than 1,000 years.
Den har stået der, hvor den står i 1,000 år.
It's a magnificent place.
Et fantastisk sted.
And in the course of the sermon I said, there's gonna come a day when there's no longer any need for this building.
Og under den gudstjeneste, der sagde jeg, den dag kommer, hvor denne bygning ikke længere er nødvendig.
And I think the building committee were a bit upset.
Jeg tror nok, de blev lidt irriteret over at få
but
at vide.
But I was basing what I was saying on verse 22 of Revelation 21.
Men hvad jeg sagde, baserede jeg på vers 22 her i kapitel 21.
John says, I didn't see a temple in the city.
Hvor Johannes siger, jeg så ikke noget tempel i byen.
Because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
For Herren Gud, den almægtige, er dens tempel og lammet.
God himself with his people.
Gud selv blandt sit folk.
Not going to a building to meet him or to worship him.
Vi skal ikke ind i en eller anden bygning for at møde ham og tilbede ham.
But always there.
Han er der altid.
Us with him, he with us.
Vi med ham, han med os.
Look at the third thing which John sees.
Se på det tredje, som Johannes
siger. One reason why God himself is among his people.
Det er en grund til, at Gud selv er blandt sit folk.
In verse 4, he is among his people to wipe every tear from our eyes.
Der står i vers 4, han vil tørre hver tår af deres øjne.
You've probably understood that you can't live this life, and certainly this Christian life, without the sense and the reality of loss and of pain.
Jeg har nok oplevet, at I ikke kan leve dette liv, og særdeles ikke det kristne liv, uden at opleve tab og smerte.
And the longer you live that, the longer you live, the more you'll realize that.
Og jo længere tid du lever, jo mere oplever du af denne ting.
John Trapp made this point.
John Trapp, han sagde følgende.
God has one son without sin.
At Gud har en søn uden synd.
But he has no sons or daughters without sorrow.
Men han har ingen sønner eller ingen døtre uden sorg.
And some of you might be experiencing that very particularly this morning.
Måske oplever nogle af jer dette i særlig grad her til morgen.
Some failure in your life that you are struggling with.
Noget der ikke er i orden i dit liv, som du kæmper med.
Some loss of a relative or a friend.
Et tab af en familiemedlem eller en
some
ven.
Some sense of loss because of physical incapacity.
En følelse af tab på grund af en fysisk tilstand.
Or the sheer difficulty of living for Christ in your situation.
Eller bare fordi det er svært at leve for Kristus i dine omgivelser.
In such times of sorrow which John was certainly experiencing on the island of Patmos.
Alt sammen sorg og som Johannes i hvert fald oplevede på Patmos.
A brilliant light blazes in that sense of loss.
Men der er et lysende klart lys ind i denne sorg.
It's the light of a certain future.
Og det er lyset af en vis fremtid, en fremtid der er vis og sikker.
When God himself will be amongst us.
Hvor Gud selv vil være blandt os.
And he will wipe all those tears and sorrows personally from our eyes.
Og han vil selv tørre hver tårer og denne sorg bort fra vores.
He's not going to delegate this task to angels.
Det er ikke noget, som han uddelegerer til englene.
It's something personal between God and you.
Det er noget, der er mellem Gud og dig.
That's heaven.
Det er himlen.
Just a glimpse.
Bare et glimt.
But it's enough to give me a desire to be there.
Men det er nok til at få mig til at længes efter at være der.
Everything is new.
Alt er nyt.
God himself is with us.
Gud selv er iblandt os.
And all the dirt and the sorrow and the pain of life he wipes from our eyes.
Og alt livets smerte og snavs, det fjerner han, det tørrer han af vores kinder.
Give me 5 minutes, please, just to apply this for us today.
De sidste 5 minutter vil jeg gøre dette klart for os her i dag.
Number one.
For det første.
This certainty with regard to the future.
Denne vished, hvad angår fremtiden.
Must lead us to bold decisions in life today.
Må føre os til at træffe modige beslutninger i dagens liv.
I think one of the most challenging statements the Apostle Paul ever made, we often miss.
Vi går tit glip af noget af det største, som Paulus nogensinde har sagt.
We miss it because it's coupled with one of the most confusing things the Apostle ever wrote.
Og vi forstår det ikke, fordi det står sammen med noget af det mest forvirrende, som Paulus nogensinde har skrevet.
You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 15. You don't need to turn to it now, but you'll find it there.
Står i 1. Korinther 15.
Paul is arguing the case for the resurrection of the dead.
Hvor Paulus han taler for, at de døde er opstået.
And he argues it on the basis of Christ's resurrection.
Og det argumenterer han for på baggrund af, at Kristus han
opstod. And in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 15, he moves on to a very confusing practice.
Og så går han videre i 1 Korinther 15:19 til
it was a practice which was obviously current in the church in Corinth at the time.
Og det var en praksis, som var almindelig blandt korinterne.
People were being baptized in the church in Corinth on behalf of those who had already died.
Det fremgår, at korinterne lod sig døbe på vegne af dem, som allerede var døde.
Now, I don't want to get into that controversy this morning.
Og det er ikke noget, vi skal gå dybere ind i lige nu.
But I want to read to you verses 29 to 32 of 1 Corinthians 15.
Jeg vil gerne læse 1. Korinther 15, 29-32.
Please listen carefully to this.
Lyt til dette.
Paul says, now if there is no resurrection, What will those who are baptized for the dead do? Verse 29.
Hvis døde overhovedet ikke opstår, hvorfor så lade sig døbe for dem?
If the dead are not raised at all, why are people being baptized for them?
Hvis de døde overhovedet ikke opstår, hvorfor så lade sig døbe for dem?
Now listen to this. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour?
Og hvorfor udsætter vi os for fare hvert et øjeblik?
I face death, says Paul, every day.
Han siger, Paulus, hver dag dør jeg.
Yes, surely, just as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Jeg brøder så sandt, I er min stolthed i Kristus Jesus.
If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised?
Hvis det kun var med et menneskeligt håb, jeg kæmpede mod vilde dyr i Ephesus, hvad gavnede det mig så?
Do you see what Paul is saying?
Kan I se, hvad Paulus siger her?
I'm willing to make bold decisions, decisions which might even endanger my life today, because I'm so certain about tomorrow.
Jeg kan træffe modige beslutninger i dag, beslutninger som måske kan sætte mit liv på spil, fordi jeg kender fremtiden.
Martin Luther wrote this.
Martin Luther skrev følgende.
There are only 2 days in my diary.
Der er kun 2 dage i min dagbog.
There's today, and there's that day.
Der er i dag, og der er den dag.
There's today and that day when I'll stand before the Lord Jesus.
Der er i dag og hin dag, hvor jeg vil stå foran Herren Jesus.
And Martin Luther is saying what the Apostle Paul was saying 2,000 years ago. I make decisions today in the light of that day.
Og Luther siger bare, hvad Paulus sagde, at jeg træffer beslutninger i dag baseret på det dag, jeg ved kommer.
So just pause for a moment and think.
Så prøv lige at tænke over det.
Is God calling me to bold decisions today? Maybe how you use your time, how you use your money, in the light of the certainty of that day.
Kalder Gud dig til at træffe beslutninger i dag, om hvordan du bruger dit liv, hvordan du bruger dine midler, i lyset af, hvordan den dag bliver.
Do we really live our lives today with heaven in mind?
Lever vi vores liv i dag med himlen for øje?
Does it affect my choices? Does it affect my decisions? The reality of eternity in heaven.
Påvirker virkeligheden af, at jeg skal tilbringe evigheden i himlen? Påvirker det mine beslutninger i dag?
Second practical conclusion.
Og den anden praktiske ting.
The certainty of the future brings a seriousness and an urgency to our ministry today.
Det at vi kender fremtiden giver
the certainty of the future brings a seriousness to our ministry today.
Bringer en dyb alvor ind i vores tjeneste i dag.
If the reality of heaven is something we rarely think about,
hvis himlens virkelighed er noget, som vi sjældent tænker på.
What about the reality of hell?
Hvad så med helvedes virkelighed?
I don't know about Denmark, but in England there's great debate going on amongst evangelical theologians at the present time.
Jeg ved ikke her i Danmark, men i England er der store debatter, der foregår mellem teologer i dag.
What is the nature of hell?
Hvad er helvede egentlig?
Is it a place of eternal suffering? Is it a place where people are ultimately annihilated?
Er det et sted med evig lidelse, eller er det et sted, hvor folk bliver udslettet?
Great books are being written on this subject.
Der skrives store tykke bøger om dette emne.
And it's an important debate.
Og det er en vigtig debat.
But we must never allow such a debate to drift into mere theory.
Men vi må aldrig tillade, at en sådan debat bare bliver til teori.
If heaven is a reality, then so is hell.
Hvis himlen findes, så gør helvede det også.
A leading British atheist once wrote this.
Der er en førende britisk ateist, som skrev følgende.
If I believed what you Christians say you believe,
hvis jeg troede på det, som I kristne siger, I tror,
I would crawl across England on broken glass to save one soul from your hell.
Så ville jeg kravle på min knæ tværs over England på knust glas, bare for at frelse en sjæl fra helvede.
I have to ask myself, do I really believe in heaven?
Jeg må spørge mig selv, Tror jeg virkelig på himlen?
Am I making life's decisions today in the light of heaven?
Træffer jeg dagens beslutninger i lyset af himlen?
And equally, I have to ask myself, do I really believe in hell?
Og jeg må også spørge mig selv, tror jeg virkelig på helvede?
When the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven,
Herren Jesus steg til himmels.
We're told that the gates were taken off their hinges and put to one side.
For vi at vide, da det skete, får vi at vide, at porten blev taget af hængslerne og sat til side.
You remember Psalm 24, you gates, lift up your heads and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors.
Kan I huske i Salme 24, hvor der står, gør porten, døren høj og porten hvid.
In those days, if you'd been away from home for a long time and you returned,
den gang, når man havde været væk lang tid, og man vendte tilbage til sit hjem,
the welcome was not just to open the door.
Der bestod velkomsten ikke bare i at åbne døren.
But you actually took the door off its hinges and put it to one side as a statement of welcome.
Men man tog simpelthen døren og hængslerne og satte den til side for at udtrykke velkommen.
When Jesus returned to heaven, the doors were taken off, figuratively speaking, and put to one side.
Og da Jesus vendte tilbage til himlen, der blev døren også billedligt talt taget af hængslerne.
And the wonderful thing, the gospel news, is that those doors have never been replaced.
Og evangeliets nyheder, glædelige nyheder, består i, at den dør er aldrig sat på plads igen.
Heaven is open today.
Himlen står åben.
Open for any weak, feeble person like myself to walk through by believing in my Savior Jesus.
Åben for at enhver svag, famlende troende kan gå igennem døren ved troen på Kristus Jesus.
But not open forever.
Men den står ikke åben altid.
One day those doors will be replaced.
En dag kommer døren på igen.
Jesus put it like this, the night is coming.
Og Jesus sagde sådan her, natten kommer.
When no one can work.
Hvor ingen kan arbejde.
Do I really believe in heaven?
Tror jeg virkelig på himlen?
Finally, final point.
Og det sidste punkt.
This certain future should make us, Christians, beacons of hope in the 21st century.
Denne fremtidsvished bør gøre os kristne til lysende håb i denne verden.
A month ago there was a major article in British newspapers on the issue of anxiety.
For en måneds tid siden var der en stor artikel i en avis i England om angst.
The article stated Britain has entered the age of anxiety.
Hvor der stod at Storbritannien er gået ind i angstens tidsalder.
There are four times as many hospital appointments in 2012 than there were in 2007 to deal with the issue of depression and anxiety.
Hospitalerne havde fire gange flere der henvendte sig med symptomer på depression, end de havde i 2007.
In Western Europe, we are living in days when there is a desperate need for hope.
I dag, her i Vesteuropa, har vi et desperat brug for håb.
Everything seems to be coming apart.
Alt ser ud til at falde fra hinanden.
The things that we relied on even 10 years ago seem to be dissipating.
Ting, som vi stolede på for 10 år siden, ser ud til at smuldre imellem os.
The banks, surely they were secure.
Så bankerne er så sikre som altid.
My pension, surely I could rely on that.
Men selvfølgelig kan jeg stole på det.
What seems so secure, even in recent days, no longer.
Det, som syntes så sikkert bare for kort tid siden, er ikke længere så
People
sikkert.
People are looking for an anchor in a sea of uncertainty.
Folk leder efter et anker i håbløshedens hav.
They're looking for a solid, firm foundation.
De leder efter et fundament, de kan stå på.
And we sit here this morning as people who have what Europe is looking for.
Og her sidder vi mennesker, som har det, som Europa længes efter.
Our foundation is absolutely secure.
Vores grundvold er fuldstændig sikker.
It stood the test of time for thousands of years.
Den har bestået tidens prøve i tusindvis af år.
That anchor is Jesus himself.
Og ankeret er Jesus selv.
And his finished work at the cross of Calvary.
Og hans fuldendte værk på Golgata.
And the absolutely certain present and future that that work has secured for us.
Og den fuldstændig sikre nutid og fremtid, som det er, den gerning har udvirket for os.
Heaven, it's a real place.
Himlen er et virkeligt sted.
Hell, it's a real place.
Helvede er et virkeligt sted.
How does that impact my thinking today?
Og hvordan påvirker det min måde at tænke på?
What impact does it make or does it have on my choices and my decisions?
På hvad måde påvirker det mine valg og mine beslutninger i dag?
Do I really, really believe
tror
in
jeg,
heaven?
Tror jeg virkelig, virkelig på himlen?
Let's pray together.
Lad os bede sammen.
We bow before you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Herre Jesus Kristus, vi bøjer os for dig.
You came to this earth so that we might spend eternity with you and with your Father.
Du kom til denne jord, så vi måtte tilbringe evigheden med dig og din far.
You gave your life that we might enjoy eternal life.
Du gav dit liv, så vi måtte få evigt liv.
And my prayer, Lord, for myself and my brothers and sisters here is that you'll make these things much more real to us on a daily basis.
Min bøn for mig selv og mine brødre og søstre her er, at du vil gøre dette faktum til en større og større virkelighed for os.
Please, Lord, impress upon my mind and my heart and the mind and heart of my brothers and sisters here these eternal realities on a daily basis.
Gør disse evige virkeligheder og sandheder meget tydelige for mig selv og mine brødre og søstre.
As we come to communion, Lord, and we think of the finished work of our Lord Jesus.
Når vi samles om nadveren og tænker på Herren Jesu fuldendte værk.
Help us to appreciate all that that work has done for us and for a lost world.
Så hjælp os, Herre, til at se, hvad det din gerning har gjort.
Thank you for your word, Lord, to me and to all of us this morning.
Tak for dit ord til mig og os alle denne formiddag.
In Jesus' name.
I Jesu navn.
Amen.